Today is February 13th, and we are talking about the Yankees. Spring training is happening. The Astros had a press conference. I don't have Jake with me. I've got Keith with me, and we've got a bunch of voicemails to answer. Let's do it. Let's talk Yankees.
Talking Yanks with old John Boy. John Boy and Jake.
Keith.
Recaps galore. Weekly awards, stat lines, steaming hot takes. Your Yankees news with these two fine dudes. It's time for Talking Yanks. Talking Yanks with
it's
old John
straight my head.
Boy. John Boy and Jake.
Green
Talking Yanks with old John Boy. John Boy and Jake.
Perfect timing.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to Talkin' Yanks. My name's John Boy, and I'm coming to you from the studios, the studio in the Bronx at John Boy headquarters, and I have special guest Keith McPherson with me, subbing in for Jake today, as Jake spends some time on the mountains with his gal before Valentine's Day. And I don't know if you're watching on YouTube or you're just listening. If you're just listening, nothing is different. If you're watching on YouTube or live on Patreon, we got a three-camera broadcast set up, and this is our test episode. Lovely Caitlin is producing, which I just basically introduced her to, like, what everything is. So we'll see how it goes.
First time on the job.
Yeah. And Keith's with me. Keith's with me every day in the office these days. It is me, Keith, and Katie. Every day, Katie is the office manager. Keith is running all of our socials and obviously does a lot of Yankees content, talks on Talking Nets. He's mm-hmm. been on Pinstripe Strong with Joe's for a while, runs all our Twitters and everything. Keith, what's up?
Yeah, what's up, man? I am pumped. This is a like reversal for me. Usually I'm listening to Talking Yanks. Now I'm on Talking Yanks and I'm like, yeah, hashtag Jake Rocks. I'm starting that up.
Oh, you're changing it up. It's been 10 years in the making with Jake Sucks, so you got a ways to go.
I can't sit in Jake's seat and say Jake Sucks, so hashtag Jake Rocks.
Okay, that's fair. That's fair. I mean, can you hear that plane flying in the background? Should I shut the window? It gets too hot. It gets too hot.
I think we're all right. If they hear the planes, it's authentic. We are in the Bronx. We're not too far from LaGuardia. Planes fly.
Yeah, it's not every day. It's like random-ass days. But
the airport is open every day.
I know, but they don't fly over this.
Monday is the big day.
Yeah, Monday's the big day, and there's certain days they fly over and certain days they don't. It's very odd.
I feel like we just don't catch them. I feel like they're flying
I think it's some city ordinance where, like, they fly over this part of the Bronx Monday, Wednesday,
this
Thursday,
no fly
Friday,
zone.
And then they fly over this way, so, like, people can't complain that it's every day over there.
You got to put the request in that when you're recording, it's a no-fly zone.
You ever flown out of Orange County Airport?
No.
All the rich folks there don't like the airplane noise, so when you take off out of Orange County Airport, you go straight up like a fucking magnetic roller coaster. You know how it just goes
scary.
Up? And then they cut the engines and you just float.
Terrifying.
Because everyone in Orange County needs to sleep peacefully.
The more you know.
It's scary. It's like, what the hell is this? Not fun. Also not fun, the Astros had their big press conference today, and we got a TV up and running in the office. Just MLB Network on all day. I was telling you, like, I never lived with MLB Network on. You said you did.
I love MLB Network, especially for stuff like that.
I loved it. It's a lot of opinions that I'd never, like, I know Harry Reynolds and
Matt Vasgersian. Brian Kenny crushes it on MLB Now. And then obviously Chris Rose and Kevin Millar on Intentional Talk.
Yeah, I like the way they went about all their shows and stuff, so I'm loving just listening to it. But the big news was the Astros finally had their press conference. And the first half, I'll give them credit, the second half was okay. The first half was shitty. And a Yankees connection, the worst answer of the press conference came when they asked about the Yankees. Like, you beat the Yankees 2 years. You beat at the Yankees in 2017. Do you feel bad, or is that, and it doesn't count, or something like that. That's when the owner, Jim Crane, gave the answer. Basically saying, in our opinion, this wasn't, what was the term he used? It didn't help.
This guy basically said, in our opinion, like, we won the World Series, and we can't say for sure that, like, this would have affected that. It just starts to show you, like, their true colors. When he went off script, he basically kept saying, like, we won the World Series, and almost in a way to say, like, you can't take that from us.
Yeah. I have it here, and this. Let's see if we can hear it.
You know, our opinion is, you know, that this didn't impact the game. We had a good team. We won the World Series, and we'll leave it at that.
This didn't impact the game. That's what I was hearing.
It didn't impact the Super Bowl. It didn't impact the Super Bowl at all.
The next question, they were like, how can you say it didn't impact the game? And he goes, I didn't say it didn't impact the game.
Yeah, that's you can't backtrack immediately. No. Like, you can't say something like that and then try and take it. Like, we all heard you. And that is the quote of the day. That's the quote that is attached to his face. That's the quote that everyone is running with to say, man, we were looking for that, and you failed. Wrong answer. Shouldn't have said that. Hey, it is what it is. The Astros are terrible at this. Crisis
Real
management,
bad.
PR.
Their PR guy walks
is there
through a
no
bush.
One?
And then Harry Reynolds goes, that's Bush League. It's
I was
too
laughing
easy.
At.
It's too easy. And other guys are, oh, taking shortcuts instead of taking the real path. Like, it's the PR guy too
I was
easy.
Laughing
was
at every
funny.
Little thing from the broadcast. Like, the PR guy walking through the bushes, and then that queued you up for the Bush League joke. And then Bregman goes up there to try and do his little thing, and his paper flies away, and then the PR guy's got to try and put it back. I'm like, these guys can't do anything right. And it just shows. It's consistent. The Astros organization is the worst organization in sports all time.
Damn. I don't know. The Browns are still pretty bad.
Well, we're not talking about their record because, you know, their record gets flashed. They had the best record in baseball the last 3 years. Coincidence.
I think the facade of, like, the smart tech-savvy redoing the game is definitely completely gone.
Yeah.
Like, not even, like, obviously they were cheating, so it's gone from there. But even, like, the way Jim Crane addressed the media and the players just losing all that swag immediately,
yeah.
I do think, like, it's kind of see-through now. The whole thing.
For sure. It's we're now seeing behind the curtain. It's like there's nowhere for them to hide. There's no more pretending. And we get to see, like I said, their true colors coming out. And they're still a little bit smug about it. Altuve didn't really do enough for me outside. His apology outside wasn't an apology. He basically was like apologizing to their fans and saying they're ready to move on. They're ready to play baseball. But that's not the apology we were looking for.
Remorse was a huge word for them.
But that's all coaching, because yesterday when they opened up spring training, they roped off the place and they, I'm sure, sat down for hours. They had a team meeting and they had a crisis management PR team come in and kind of like coach these guys on what to say, and they still didn't execute. They still didn't do that right. So, I don't know.
It's bad.
It's all bad.
The other thing, what was something else? Damn it, there was something else.
Correa, I will say that. Correa, I liked what Correa had to say the most. One, I liked that he didn't let them throw this all on Carlos Beltran. Because today I saw a headline saying Carlos Beltran was the co-creator. He spearheaded all of this. And, like, he was such a voice in the clubhouse that no one could stand up to him. Which, these aren't children. These are grown men. Like, don't try and pretend like Carlos Beltran came in and started running things because he's just a legend and no one could stand up to him. And then I did like that, you know, Correa took the opportunity to say, we didn't use buzzers. Absolutely not.
Absolutely
2018,
not.
2019, we were clean. Now, we don't know if that's true, but he put his face and name to it. And if something comes out later on that they had buzzers, then he's going to look really stupid. I just think he didn't get he wasn't in the buzzer club. The buzzer club was like Altuve, Bregman, Springer, maybe one other guy.
Well, there's those Reddit comments mm-hmm. that I know the guy that's they're supposedly from. I'm not going to break any news. I've never in this thing broken anything. I just confirm or try to dig up what's already broken. But on that Reddit thread, he's like, during the World Series, like, I had a dream that after the World Series, there's a big media backlash about the Astros for cheating because they have a group of tech guys that give their players the signs via buzzers. It's like, hey, every part of that fucking dream has come true, guys.
What a dream to have and actually write about it.
Every part has come true besides the buzzers.
When you have dreams, Jimmy, do you wake up and write them down, or do you completely forget them? Because most of my dreams, I completely forget.
And he ended it with, like, ha-ha, but it was just a dream, like, in the post. So, my point was, part of his second post, his follow-up was, like, only trusted players get the buzzers.
Yeah.
So, if Correa, like, this is a big if Correa did fall on the sword, there was, like, absolutely fucking not. We didn't have buzzers, and he's doing that because he wasn't part of the trusted club. And now Altuve and Bregman are sitting there like, oh, shit, Carlos, oh, shit.
They're sweating. because they know. We're still waiting to figure out why the whole don't rip my shirt thing was a thing. Why'd you run into the clubhouse after you hit possibly the biggest home run of your career to send the Astros back to the World Series? You were super guarded coming around third, headed home. You weren't really, like, joyful. That's still suspicious to all of us, and we still haven't got to the bottom of that. Matt Vasgersian on MLB Network today on Hot Stove, he said, just tell me you had to go to the bathroom. I'll take that as an answer. Say,
I was about
to
shit my pants, all right? I was swinging at that pitch no matter what because I had to shit, and I only had one pitch left in the at-bat, and that's what happened. Like, let's just say that. We're all good.
I was sitting 2-1 on Chapman knowing I had a turd.
Yeah. It was coming whether I swung or I didn't swing, so I just swung as hard as I could. I mean, whatever. The other news that came out that's Yankee-centric is that D-Rob came out and was like, like, hey, like, I'm rethinking 2017 ALCS now. I got lit up in game four, some pitches that I thought they should have taken, some pitches that I thought they shouldn't have been swinging at, stuff like that.
He said he pitched the best. He said he felt he, like, was pitching at his best, throwing some of his best stuff, and it was curious that guys were laying off pitches. And
yeah, I didn't go back and watch. But it's just sad because David Robertson's like, how many chances do we get? Am I going to get to go back to the LCS?
In Philly?
Maybe. Maybe. He's got to get healthy first. But, you know, it's just – that made me sad because, like, when you really think about that 2017 Yankees team, there's a lot of magic going on. Every game at Minute Maid Park was close, and every game at Yankee Stadium they won by a couple – well, that one game where they came back in the eighth inning was close. But still, you get what I'm saying.
Yeah, I lived it, man. I went to one of the games in the Bronx, and then I had, like, my little spot in my apartment that I watched the rest of the games, and I was very superstitious about that. And it's tough now looking back because that was the magic carpet ride. That was the thumbs up. Thumbs down year, rather, and everything was coming together, and everyone thought we were going to go to the World Series. I remember, you know, talks about Yankees, Dodgers.
The guy who basically convinced me to do this full time was going to fund me to go to L.A. to cover
and
the
Astros
World Series.
Stole that from you.
Yeah. And I was like, well, how do I make gifts from L.A.?
Can I bring my MacBook in the stadium?
All right, let's go to some voicemails. That's all like the Yankee stuff going on. Any other news from spring? Paxton's rocking a weird mustache.
Garrett Cole's press conference today, but we were working, so we didn't really get to watch all of it.
No, but they were saying, like, he really is, like, meticulous. Like, they asked him, like, hey, what was your conversation with Boone like? And he went through, like, hey, we talked about this, and we talked about this, and when I want to miss a spot, how we go about doing that. And it's like, miss
That's
a spot,
great.
Dude.
I love Garrett Cole already just by the way he answers the questions about pitching. He is obviously athletically gifted, but mentally he's also the guy. So
he's a nerd.
I loved what I saw from him.
Pitching nerd,
I saw that he said that he's getting to know Tommy Canley because of how much he hears Tommy Canley. So I guess, you know, like Tommy Canley talks
loud.
So much. He's like, yeah, I'm getting to know Tommy because he doesn't shut up.
And he put respect on Tanaka's name right away. Which you gotta Tanaka do that
son.
If you want my love. He was like, oh, how could I not want to learn from a guy like Tanaka?
Masahiro.
He's been a professional for years, and it's like, damn right, Cole.
Of course,
you
dude.
Better.
Much respect to Masahiro, 1-9.
All right, let's go to voicemails. This is Ben in Oklahoma, and we did not screen these at all, guys, because my brother was working, and we had to set up, and we changed a bunch of passwords, so whatever, just deal with it.
Here we go.
Hopefully they're all good.
Hey, it's Ben from Oklahoma. Last week I had a call about the guys who were going to be in the best shape of their life, and wow, were my predictions bad. Paxton, broken back, surgery, who knows, and Hap, old, I don't know why I said that. So my next question is, who are the guys that are going to come in and actually be in the best shape of their life? I got to know where he's going to come in looking like they hit the curls 3 times a day. Last year it was Hicks, he came in yoked. This year, who's it going to be? I don't know. You tell me.
All right. Here's where I'm at. I don't mean to jump on Ben from Oklahoma. I'm over the best shape of your life meme. I think it's jumped the shark. I think everyone's doing it at every second now.
Yeah.
And people are very self-aware when they do it, so it's not fun anymore.
Yeah.
So I'm over it. But Mike Ford did a lot of yoga and lost 20 pounds, so he's my answer.
And he did that yoga down in Manahawkin. Both of us are shore area people.
Did he?
Yeah. He
nice.
Went to I tried to look it up real quick, but it didn't come up. He went to somewhere in Manahawkin. Obviously, he's a Jersey guy. And that article came out that I think he was at, I don't know, is it Mind Body? I would love to give them a shout out.
Yeah.
Because Mike Ford was there.
But, well, let's wait and see if he's healthy and good.
Yeah, we'll give you a shout out if he's limber good. And he stays injury free. Mike Ford was down in
pulls
the Jersey Shore area.
Pulls the first ground out. No shout out.
It's like, nope, don't go there.
Yeah. All right, next voicemail.
John Boy and Jake. This is Michael Kaplan from Alexandria, Virginia, originally from beautiful, balmy Rochester, New York. Listen to you for a year. Congrats on all the great success. All right, quick two questions. First one, Major League Baseball season coming up. What do you think are a few simple things they can do to better promote the brand and the players? I'm thinking of particularly Aaron Judge, Mookie Betts, Mike Trout. Second question, very serious. It's for John Boy. Is Jake a better dancer before or after he starts drinking? All right, I'll hang up and listen. Thanks for all the great stuff, guys. See ya.
Nova.
Yeah, thank you, Michael from Virginia. Oklahoma, then Virginia. How about that? First question, what can they do to better market their stars? Was that it?
For MLB to better market guys like Judge,
Mookie Betts. I think they just have to let the guys who want to be marketed market themselves or help them along. Like Javi Baez wants to be like a silly, funny dude, so go let him. Bauer is taking it into his own hands. I was talking with Plouffe, like, we need someone that has a different opinion than Bauer to be as loud as him.
Yeah.
Because right now it feels like when he talks for all of the players, and Plouffe's like, he doesn't. Glaber's doing a lot of work, and his agency
he's
is
popping
doing
up.
A lot of work to make
saw him.
Saw
him at the Nets game.
He's going to Nets game.
Courtside.
He's sitting courtside. Yes is putting him on the screen, saying Glaber Torres. Like,
love
he's
it.
Appearing places in the city. Doing a lot of work to make him like a star.
Yeah.
I think it's just – dude, honestly, it's as simple as commercials, I think. Like, Judge, Pepsi, get big products.
And it isn't even, like, linear television. Here's some inside game. I interviewed at NFL. I interviewed at MLB, both for the same type of position. It was, like, a player social media coordinator because both of the leagues have things in position to help the players do better social media. So it isn't even, like, a television commercial. They can just make ads for Instagram, Twitter, but make them cool and show their personalities, right? So
it has to be personality, Phil.
Yeah, like, it's just like if these guys are into something quirky or something cool.
Get them on Saturday Night Live. Remember when Jeter and Coney and Wells all went on Saturday Night Live? Like, even though Saturday Night Live is
kind of
dead.
It's going to take a special kind of guy to pull it off.
You need to put them on, like, the new age media. It's not Saturday Night Live anymore. It's like vlogs or
whatever. Weird thinking television. These younger kids.
Send them to Bronx and John Boy Media headquarters.
There it is. That's the best idea. When these guys come to play the New York Yankees
or the Mets,
send them to John Boy Media. We'll create some content with them. Yeah. I'm sure it'll be dope.
And there's a ton of other places like us, or there's not that many actually in baseball, but, you know, do that and let them show.
Let the young content creators brainstorm and come up with the ideas for what would be cool to do with these individual players that want to do it. I hear that a lot, too. They're like, some of these guys like Mike Trout don't want to be. Well, he's not the only player. You know how many baseball players there are? More baseball players across our league than there are basketball players and NFL players.
25 times 30 is?
I'm not good at math.
Yeah, it's not a math bot. Never been.
So. I couldn't give you that one. 30 times 25.
No. Okay, well, 25 times
like 600.
10. 25 times 10 is 2,500.
Six.
And then that's 500, 7,500. Final answer.
6,000.
Is that right, Katie? No?
Calculators, that's why we have them.
25 times 30?
30 times 25.
750?
I said 600 first, and then you kicked it up to 7,000. I said 6,000.
I got my decimals fucked up. Not a math.
So I was closer with the first 600, I said. But either way, that's a lot of players. And, you know, these guys, some of these guys don't know how to do their own social media. They're trying to help them.
And they're too busy.
Yeah, they play every day.
But when you hire, like, a social media, like, to, like, tweet for you, don't do that.
No, and that's the thing.
Either don't tweet or tweet yourself or don't post on Instagram or post yourself. When you hire these companies to post your tweets for you, you're not you.
Feed them the content and create the content with them. Send them the ideas. Like here's an idea that I caught when I was in the corporate world. Like, we want to get these guys' workout videos. Like, we saw Glaber's workout videos. That's cool content. We want to see that these baseball players work out, too. People think they just roll out of bed and hit 300. No, these guys are working out. Show us that.
Yeah, yeah. And then the second part of the question was, is Jake a better dancer before or after he starts drinking? Jake doesn't need to be drunk to dance. So, I mean, maybe he might be slightly more aggressive while drunk. I think that's when the pants ripping comes into play a lot. But he can get going sober just as well.
We will find out soon. Billy's dance floor. I'm sure Jake rocks sober or drunk or in between.
He's a trained dancer. He took a ballet class in college.
What can he do? Dance, model, podcast host?
Is five
toilet Nostradamus.
He can't ride a bike that well.
You would know.
That's about it. Next.
Hey guys, this is Tim in Florida. Hey, you guys referenced the juice ball last year and all, you know, that how it affected this guy. Are they eliminating the juice ball, or are we just kind of guessing on that? Or because I know MLB never really admitted that the ball was juiced. And if they are eliminating it, who on the Yankees do you think it affects the most positively and the most negatively?
Positively would be Hap. And the playoff balls were definitely the regular balls and not the juiced balls.
Less juiced.
And we talked with, I wish I knew her name. We just talked about this either the last episode on here or with MLB or was on one of the mini episodes that we recorded. But there's a woman who's a data scientist and is studying the balls. I got to find her name. Her name is Beth something.
The thing about the juice balls is we've moved so far from the juice balls that, like, it's so much Astros and cheating and technology and sign stealing now that no one's even talking about the juice balls. But everyone said Gardy benefited. You know, his power numbers went up. They say if they're not juiced, Hap will be better, fly ball pitcher. I don't know. I think it's just peculiar that MLB owns Rawlings or did a deal to acquire Rawlings. And, you know, they say that the balls weren't juiced, but they own the company that makes the balls. And then there are players, pitchers that came out and said, hey, these balls are different. And it's funny now because Justin Verlander was a big guy talking about the juice balls all year. And when it turns on him and his team that they were cheating, that they actually were doing something to affect the game in a terrible way, he didn't have much to say today. He was pretty quiet on that. He was ducking a little bit.
I think the balls are going to be D not juiced.
D not juiced?
I'm trying to remember not juiced. I think they're going to be back to normal. But okay. I'm trying to remember my conversation with this woman who did a lot of research. It's her job. She's a scientist at the winter meeting. She gave me a ball from 2018 and 2019 and told me to feel the difference. And it was crazy.
Yeah.
Laces were smaller, slippery, everything that they say. And she said that she's like, it's not on purpose. Because, oh, dude, she was crazy detailed. I wanted to have her on the show. It just never worked out. She wants to come on. Each ball has a data point inside of it so you can figure out when it was made.
Okay.
But they didn't, they don't know that. It's not like a stamp. It's just a way that they're made. You can tell, oh, this one's got a date. It's like rings on a tree.
It's like the born-on date that used to be on, Coors Light.
And you can tell. And she her summation, and I might be doing this poorly, was that it was just negligence. And MLB doesn't want to admit that it's just negligence, so they're just, covering it up. Instead of saying, we don't know what happened. We should have been more on top of it. They don't say that, so they keep saying it's not the balls. It's the, you know, the new swing and this and stuff like that. Or it's half
launch
the balls
angle.
And new swings. She's like, no, it's the balls. They're way different.
Chicks dig the long ball.
She thinks they're going to be back to normal, I believe, at least at winter meetings. That's what I recall.
It was an error, but it was a good error. MLB's like, we didn't mean to do this, but we don't hate it.
I know. I wanted to go back, though, because some of the home runs, the oppo shots that were just sliced down the line, they were, ridiculous.
And how deflating was it watching the postseason when some of those balls hit the warning track or landed and we're like,
that was a bomb in the
regular season. That should have went out.
Yeah. The other question on here was, who do you think it affects most positively? I think if we're talking about pitchers, Hap. He got fucked the most by the fly ball. So I think Hap would love if they're not juiced and it's just regular old baseballs. Who it affects most negatively? What if it's Glaber? They're predicting him to have 40 home runs now.
Yeah, because he led the team with 38. They're thinking that's his average. 40 is going
to
be.
Yeah, maybe that 38 was really 30, and now he hits 33 to 35,
maybe
and people are
even hit 30.
It's a step down, you know. Or maybe I was going to say Gardner. He popped 20. He got affected positively, but we don't need Gardner doesn't need that for his game.
I'm looking for vintage Gardy this year. Give me a slap single, you know.
Or Gio. I mean, what if like all of his fly
Gio
balls
could
turn
come
to
back
outs.
Down to earth this year?
Yeah.
Talkman had a hell of a month of May last year. Maybe that was due to juice balls. Who knows? We'll find out soon.
Yeah. All right. Here's the next voicemail.
Hey, what's up, Jimmy and Jake? It's JP. Just calling in with a question I got for you guys regarding the Yankees. Wanted to know if you're going to have a beer with a Yankee, you're going to have a beer who and sit in silence with a Yankee, who would it be? And if you were going to have a beer and sit and chat it up with a Yankee, who would you pick? I don't know. I feel like the silent Gardner would be a good quiet beer. And then I don't know who I'd talk with. But all right, let me know. Have a good one. Thanks, guys. Congrats on the new space.
All right, so we're getting a silent beer with someone?
Silent beer and then a full-out discussion with another Yankee.
Chad Green's too easy of an answer for a silent beer.
And that's what everyone's picturing, awkward
DJ.
Chad.
It's DJ. I wouldn't want DJ to talk to me.
No, you just chill with DJ.
I'd be like, wait, hold up.
Cheers.
We built up this whole personality that you're this like quiet guy. And imagine you get a beer with DJ, talks your ear off like a schoolgirl, and you're like, hold up.
Ruins dude. It for you.
This ain't you.
Like, no. This is the machine? No, other machine.
So, DJ. I'd prefer to not talk, and not because I don't like him, but I just want to be like him.
I think I would, if I'm sitting with a Yankee that, you know, we're not talking, I think I'd want there to be at least like a language barrier.
Oh, that makes more sense.
So,
like you can't talk.
Like, yeah, like maybe Tanaka, maybe Gary, maybe Chapman. But I feel like, you know, what we see from like Chapman and Gary, like those guys can hold a conversation. Let me think of who else.
Tanaka's a great answer, but I think I'm talking his ear off. And he's not going to like it.
So who would it be to chat with? Who would you want to have a full-on beer? How long does it take to drink one beer? 30 minutes? 20 minutes?
Does Boone count or Judge?
They're Yankees.
I mean, like, if I could get honest answers from him, like we were just buds, I think it's Judge. They have the most curious – because he's so relaxed, but I hear that he's such a big shit talker in real life.
Yeah.
I'd love to, like, shoot the shit with him. Like, Canely's a no for me, because it might be too loud.
Might be too much.
I'm too old and boring to have a loud talk with Canely. Yeah.
I would need Gardy, man. Gardy's my guy. I would love to just ask him questions. He's the longest tenured Yankee. I would love to ask him questions about older Yankees and how he feels about some of these younger Yankees and his tenure as a Yankee, his legacy as a Yankee. I could get all that in 20 minutes.
Okay. I mean, Gary's good, too.
Gary's good for either one.
Yeah.
I would just have to get my Espanol up before. It would be like a Spanglish conversation.
I have my final answer. I'd like Gary and Tanaka to have a beer together and me to be the bartender. I just pop in and out like eavesdrop from the corner while I'm just like rubbing the same spot for 30 minutes.
I would love to hear their conversations.
Yeah, everyone says that they both like can speak fine. Like,
people talk about Seve and Tanaka, and it's like these guys definitely talk and have, even if they don't speak the same language, they have communication on a daily basis with each other.
Yeah. All right, what's up? Now we're going to Nebraska.
Look out.
You turn it up, Katie.
So we've got a serious case of DTs right now. I really need some 2020 Yanks baseball. Sucks. I missed it. Thank God PPPs are coming up. Yeah. But hey, question. It's not really a question. It's more of a Jake. You're right. I'm on the Jakey train. I'm on the Tyler Wade train. It's got to be his year. Third time's a charm, right? Third, fourth. I don't know. But it's got to be his year. Maybe, you know, so what if he warms the bench? It's fine. It's his breakout year. It's going to happen. T. Wade. Jakey, you're going to be singing a lot of T. Wade Homer songs. I can feel it. Hey, thanks, guys. Hope I get out of this funk. I love you.
Get out of the funk, Bubak. Bubak, we got your artwork hanging right through the doorway as soon as you walk in.
Handyman.
If that puts a smile on your face, I hope it does. Everyone texts Bubak every day to get out of his funk until it works.
We're almost there.
Tyler Wade, he may or may not be sitting down with us in spring training to come on the show. And where are you on the Tyler Wade parade?
I like Tyler Wade, T. Wade, Wade County. I don't know, though. Do you think he makes the 26-man roster?
Yeah, I do. I think he's a lock.
He's the last guy on that because he can do so many things.
He can do so many things.
I think if there's ever been a year, the year that it expands one, that one spot is for Tyler Wade.
It's made for him.
And I would love to see it happen for him. I feel like now he's grown up a little bit. Last year we saw him hit that home run. I showed you the video. He hit that home run against the Blue Jays, and I was in 203, and I literally was like, yo, Tyler Wade is hitting bombs in the regulars. I'm like, okay, I can get into this.
I got a Tyler Wade home run ball at last spring training.
Perfect. Your energy, his energy connected going into this season.
That's when I wanted to sign it and give it back to him. But we couldn't. I wanted to like call his name out and throw it to him and be like, I signed that for you.
And he'd be like,
you're like, what?
John Boy? The John Boy?
I'm still hyped up for Wade.
I think he can do it this year. There's a lot that's going to be going on with, you know, Andujar and where's Stanton going to be and Talkman and, you know, this guy being versatile, the roster expanding one. If there's ever been a year to bet on T-Wade to come through, it's this year. And I don't like the way last year went, right? With him thinking he was the guy, and then Cashman went out and got Talkman, and then he talked to the media, and you could tell he was openly disappointed.
He was pissed.
I don't want to see a rerun of that this year. He's a 26th man.
I mean, he's going to have a good spring. Actually, you know what? Would we be more confident if he has a bad spring? And we're like, well, we've never tried this theory before. A bad spring leads to a good season.
He's been around. The Yankees did a video of him doing some workout stuff. So, that rolling out, I'm like, okay, the Yankees got confidence in him. They're shooting with him. Fan favorite, ladies love him, T-Wade. Do your thing, bro. Have a good spring. Make sure that you're on that roster. I would love you to even make the – I would love you. That came – I love you,
I
man.
Love him.
I would love you to make the roster at the 25th spot, not be the last guy.
Ford might be the 26th guy then. It kind of does work out like that in my mind.
Yeah.
Tyler Wade parade needs to be a T-shirt, but we need him to be good. So, like, I think I might mock it up, and it just might be like, I don't know, me and Jake – holding a banner, like the front of the parade that says
streamers,
Tyler Wade parade, and like streamers.
Instruments.
And I'll just make it. I'll text our designer now, and then we just have to wait for him to like get his first RBI, and we're like, it's here.
Just, that's it. That's all it takes.
Yeah.
One RBI. Yeah. T-shirts are on sale. Shop johnboymedia.com.
There you go. Next voicemail.
Hi, I'd like to know what you guys think about the MLB changing the rules, and what can Major League Baseball do to increase revenue without changing the game or the postseason. Thanks.
Okay.
I did talk in baseball with Plouf yesterday, and I talked about this for an hour with Plouf, who's the next player. So if you're interested in like my full drawn out thoughts, go check out that podcast. I'll give Keith the floor for what do you think about the proposed change? And for anyone that doesn't know, the proposal is to expand the playoffs by two more teams. So 7 teams make it, 14 teams total, and the top seed gets a bye. Then the next 6.
Did he ask about the playoffs or the rules change?
I think he means changing the rules and what major.
Okay. Because they just came out with the.
Well, we knew that one.
The rule changes for 2020, and they came out with the new playoff format.
But the rule changes for 2020 are the three batter minimum.
Three batter minimum.
Except if you make the last out.
Replay. The one thing that I didn't understand so I guess I'll speak on it. They're taking the 30 seconds from a challenge or replay and cutting it down to 20. Like, that's going to speed up the game. Like, taking 10 seconds off of getting the call right, reviewing the call, or, like, that's getting cut down from 30 seconds to 20. No, just give these guys the time they need to get the call right. If we want to speed up the game, let's not speed up the game by taking away
seconds.
Don't
even speed up the game. Shut up about speeding
up
the game.
It doesn't matter, right? But see, exactly.
Cutting 2 minutes off the final broadcast ain't going
to
bring in
any
new fans.
They're trying to do everything to speed up the game. And Manfred and company's bright idea was to take 10 seconds off the review time. From 30 seconds to review a play to 20 seconds. That's going to speed up the game. No, that's just stupid. Because now these guys are going to go in rushed. Okay, all I got 10 seconds and another 10 seconds to look at this play if he was safe or not. No, they need to look at angles. They need to look at different camera views, and they need to get it right. So that was a little peculiar in the rule changes. I'm like, why are they giving the umps less time to get the call right to speed up the game? It's counterproductive.
Well, it's to throw the challenge.
Oh, okay.
Not for the umps.
So I thought it was the time that they have to review the video. I'm why would they do that?
I don't know. I didn't read it, but I'm guessing it's how the long time the coach they have to react to throw it.
Okay, but that doesn't really speed up the game either. Okay, you only have 10 seconds
on something that happens maybe twice.
10 seconds in a baseball game.
You just took 20 seconds of the game. Congrats. It's stupid. They're just focusing on the wrong things. What do you think about the new playoff format?
I think it's for television, and I get it. The television rights, I think, are up after the 2021 season, and they're trying to entice the next network or whoever to say, hey, we're going to have this playoff show where, the top teams are going to get to pick. I just think, I tweeted something the other day, win the World Series before they start changing shit. Because, right now there's a third of the league in the postseason. They're going to change this, and it's going to be about half the league entering the postseason. And we've seen wild card teams in the last few years get hot and win it all, from the Giants to the Royals to the Nationals this past year.
Yeah.
And if you're a fan of a team like the Yankees, like we are, we're expecting to be the favorites and win the East and not be sneaking in with a wild card. We don't want to get upset by a random wild card team that we select on Selection Sunday or whatever it's supposed to be.
I hate the selection part. It's bulletin board material for whoever you select.
Yeah. They picked us. They wanted us. Yeah, we're going
to. I'd be too much of a pussy to pick someone, because then they're going to be coming for me.
Right. It's I don't know. It's I would pick the best team. Pick the best team of available. Don't pick the worst guys.
What Plouffe and I did is we ran a simulation, the Pecota rankings, where they have everyone finishing at the end of this year.
Yeah.
And we went through it, and they're like, all right, who would the Mets pick? Because the Pecota has the Mets finishing second,
okay,
which means they get first pick. And their options were the Braves, Cardinals, and someone else. And I was laughing. I was like, there's no way the Mets would pick the Braves, because if they call out the Braves and then lose to the Braves, everyone would be like, LOL Mets.
These are the Mets.
So Mets.
Right. These are the Mets. They're never even going to get into that position to be picking. They're always going to be there. If anything, they might sneak in and get picked. I don't know. I just think MLB is, again, trying to change things and trying to do things. And, some people say, things have changed in baseball over the years. But, the playoff format right now as it is fine. It's entertaining to the baseball fans. I think you said something about, they're trying to get it's like the girl that you love that is so attracted to some guy that hates her or something, trying to get it. That's what MLB consistently does.
She's putting all her energy to get that dude who has no interest in her.
That's what they do.
Date her, and we're like, we'll take you out every night. And we're in.
We understand that you guys are there, but we want the other crowd. We want the other fans. And who cares? We don't, the casual fans aren't going to all of a sudden love baseball because there's a show, a reality TV show where the teams get to pick who they face. What does that do?
Next voicemail.
Hey, boys. How you doing, Jimmy and Jake? P. Bish. I had an idea for you guys. How about a possible 3/26 opening day Talking Yanks event down at Camden? It's a pretty quick train ride. I know me and at least two or three others are going down. It's a day off of work. We're repping my new Garrett Cole jersey. Excited for the 3/21 party. Definitely going to go to that at Billy's. But let me know what you think about an event for open day.
Go to Pickles.
All right, keep up, boys.
Book it. March 26th, you want to have a party at Pickles?
The 3/21 party has changed to 3/14. Can I officially announce that?
I think we can.
Think so? Okay. Because Pat spilled the beans. It's Patreon only. Pat, come on now. Come on now.
Yeah, that's funny.
Okay. Well, anyway, we'll take a quick break before we answer that question. To do some groundskeeping here. If you're going to Tampa in the next week or so, on the 19th, we're doing a live show at a bar. Tickets are on sale from our website, shop.talkingyanks.com. I think we have Brian Hoke sitting down with us. We may have some other people sitting down with us working on some other guests and stuff like that. Should be a great time. Your ticket gets you a beer, so you're just one beer and you're in. Come listen to us talk, and there'll probably be a live Q&A again and all that stuff. Also, if you're down there for the 29th of February, come out to the ballpark, Steinbrenner Field, watch the game with us, eat food with us, drink beers and wine. It's all you can eat, all you can drink. full game. We'll be talking Yanks event. Keith will be there. Joe's will be there. I'll be there. Jake will be there. And the whole crew. So there's two events. Then on March 14th, free of charge at Billy's, right next to Yankee Stadium, we are having an office little soiree, launch party, excitement party, toast in the office. And then we're all going to walk over to Billy's and celebrate and get excited with whoever wants to walk over and show up. No ticket, no nothing. If you just want to come, it's a kind of a thank you to you guys for getting us here. What? Billy's. Yeah, we're going to Billy's. The public is invited to party with us at Billy's. The office is small, and that's
2020 kickoff.
So that's March 14th. So three dates there for you. Keith, you're going opening day. There's no way I can go down to opening day because I'm going to work it and cover it.
Have you?
I do.
You've been to Camden Yards, right?
Love Camden.
Yeah,
Yards.
I mean it's a cool park to go to, and it's going to be the first time we get to see Gerrit Cole pitch as a Yankee, and the tickets are super cheap compared to what opening day is going to be like at Yankee Stadium. We're not going to throw an event down there, but hey, I'm down to meet up with people. If you're going to go to Baltimore or you're going to drive down or take the train down, tweet at me, tweet at Talkin' Yanks, tweet at John Boy Media, and we'll figure out a spot. Pickles is the spot. It's their biggest bar out there. And the Orioles fans are timid. They know they're not good. They're very friendly. So we could take over that whole stadium, and that's the plan. We don't need to throw a ticketed event. We'll see you there on March 26th to start the 2020 season.
I did opening day at Camden Yards in 2009. Chinming, or 2008. I think it was 2009. Chinming Wong pitched and got lit up.
Not the best experience.
It was after injury. Couldn't get the ball down. Kept it up in the zone. I think Teixeira hit his first home run or almost hit the warning track. And a group of deaf guys sat behind me, and they were signing to each other the whole game. And I was like, so jealous. I wish I knew how to do that.
That was the thing you were jealous.
But we drove all the way down from Connecticut just for opening day. So I've already done one opening day in my life at Camden, so I'm good.
Yeah, I mean, there's work to do here. I'm sure, like, that's a week before we have opening day in the Bronx. There's going to be a lot of stuff to do. I'm going down just for the day. I'm going down in the morning. I'm going to come right back when the game is over, and then we'll start getting ready for opening day in the Bronx.
All right, next we've got the Todd Father.
Hey, Jimmy and Jake, it's the Todd Father. Hey, man, we really need baseball season to start so these voicemail episodes can go back to, like, baseball talk. That'd be great. We've had some really weird scenario questions lately, but with that being said, I'm going to add to it. If the Yankees all went to the beach during spring training together, who's leaving their shirt on all day? Is anyone leaving their shoes on in the same tube? There's always one, isn't there? I picture Dono as being a Speedo guy for some reason, too. Also, if Altuve was there, he'd leave his shirt on. Wouldn't want to embarrass his wife. Screw him and all the trash throws. Hashtag strip the Strohs. Have fun in Florida, boys. Talk to you soon. Go Yanks.
Well done.
Thank you, Todd Father. The voicemail episode is always weird. Don't act like during the season it's not nearly as weird. It's always been weird.
The shower one, that's...
That was pretty weird. And the cereal, they went on shower cereal kick for a while, but whatever, it's fun. The Yankees go to the beach. Who is leaving their shirt on? Like, I would have said CeCe, but he said on the podcast, on R2C2, like, nah, he doesn't leave his shirt on.
You want to think it's the guys that aren't as buff or in shape. Like, you know, Giancarlo is out there flexing up.
You know who it is?
Mike Ford.
I have it as, I just always do DJ. But, like, DJ goes with, like, his shoes on and his shirt on and just, like, sits in the chair and then leaves when everyone else leaves and doesn't enjoy it.
He doesn't touch the water. He's just there because he has to be.
It's like when my friends from Chicago would come to Jersey Shore and they're just had like so scared of waves and stuff. It was so far into them. They're like, the ocean.
It's weird. It's odd to them. It's not like the Lake Michigan or whatever is over. I think it's Lake Michigan.
One of my friends refused to go under the waves, so he was just getting his ass kicked by the whitewash every time. I'm like, dude, if you go under, it just goes over your head. He's like, I don't believe you.
Takes some time to learn.
Is Tanaka leaving his shoes on? Just kind of like
just a foreign thing?
Maybe,
is that
yeah. Shoes on, shirt on for Tanaka. Maybe he just doesn't know the customs and how it goes, and someone's got to show him, like, hey, no, we're good to go over here. Right. Leave your stuff.
Dono and Espedo is a lot like Frank from Always Sunny when he's, like, lubed up and comes out of, I don't know if you know this, comes out of the couch, like a little bowling ball of a human.
I just have the visual of Dono and Espedo in my head, and I never wanted that in my head, so thanks.
Yeah, it's good. It's a good one. He gets so burnt. Mike Harkey leaves his shirt on.
I think all the Yankees are like guys that are shirtless guys, man.
They got a shower every day.
Gary might have been more like self-conscious, but I feel like Gary is slimmed down. He's in shape right now, so I can't picture him being the guy that keeps his shirt on. Who do we think is like weird like that? Shirt on, shoes on guy. Maybe Chapman, because he's going to have Gucci shoes and like a very expensive shirt
he's gonna
on.
He's going to wear like capri jeans and like
$4,000
like
outfit.
I was going to use for like a guinea tee. I was going to use the term wife beater, and that's like very – that's what I call those.
Used to be, yeah.
Yeah.
10 years ago, it used to be called that.
What are they called now?
Undershirts.
What a terrible term that was like – public like that
beater
what,
just now they're just beaters
yeah
now they're just beaters they took the wife part out they're just beaters
that's crazy that society just called them that.
There's a bunch of things like that have changed over time that we just forget about because people are like, you can't say that,
that's what comes to mind.
Whoever signed off on that to be the name of the guinea tee anyway,
I don't even think guinea tee's nice.
I think they're just undershirts,
but you know what I'm talking about, like,
they're called A-shirts.
I don't know.
I think they're called A-shirts, like Hanes A-shirts.
Yeah. All right, we'll move on.
Nick from Santa Barbara. First of all, I'm now Nick from New York because I got a job in the city.
Congrats.
I moved home from college.
It's hard to do.
Second of all, I am proposing that we ban all voicemail and Twitter questions that are in regard to what role are the players playing when they're in X social scenario. You don't fucking know by now that Judge is a DJ, that Darnie's rolling the meat, that DJ's a snake in all the games, that Tangley and Voider tossing around the football, and you're not listening. I'm sorry. I'm done. No more.
Nick from New York's got a point. People love the barbecue scenario question so much because it was fun when it happened. That they're like, okay, now let's do it at the beach. Now let's do it at a picnic. That's what they did last
like
week.
Like it changes. Yeah. I mean, the theater of the mind, that's what it is. It's like people hear this and now they can imagine this scenario. But how many different scenarios and personalities are these guys going to have? The thing is, the Yankees are pretty much the Yankees. We don't have new Yankees to talk about. Like, okay,
Cole.
Garrett Cole, right?
That was awesome. Like when Cole signed, people were like, where's he at the barbecue? And that was a fun addition to the question. Yep, but I'm like, kind of with Nick.
Still, like, you know, do you want to have a beer with him? How's he at the beach? Garrett Cole. But from what we're getting from the Garrett Cole press conference and everything we've seen so far, that guy is legit. He's A1, worth every penny so far.
How long has this been? I'm just getting a time check. Usually I can see it. 51 minutes. All right, let's do two more. We got Andrew from Hell's Kitchen. Let's see.
Hey, guys. Andrew from Hell's Kitchen. So as you guys might know, I hate the Giancarlo Stanton haters. And it's even worse when you realize that, according to SpotTrack, he is being paid $22 million a year against the luxury tax. Yeah, he's being paid more than that in real dollars, but who the fuck cares about the real money? Even in cap sports, you see a lot of players that get paid more in real dollars than their cap hits, but nobody cares. So on top of realizing how good Stanton is, realize that the contract isn't that big a deal. It's $25 million a year for 13 years. That was the original contract. And the Marlins are picking up $3 million a year for the next 10 years. So it's like $22 million against the luxury tax, according to SportTrack. Maybe I'm wrong, but I don't think I am. What are your thoughts?
I mean, I don't know this breakdown. So what's he getting paid? He's getting paid $26 million?
He became like the $325 million man or something like that. I think the Marlins 5 years ago
did
that.
Hey, if you're going to complain about money, I mean, Cole's making the most now. He's making 14 more than
like
Stanton.
Like 37 a year almost?
$36 million a year.
I'm fine with it. Baseball money changes like that every year. So when the Stanton contract got made, it was the largest contract of all time. They compared it to A-Rod. And, you know, like the caller said, the Mariners are paying some of it. It's not that bad. And this is what I want to say about
Marlins.
This is what I want. Did I say?
Get them confused too.
What did I say?
Mariners.
The M.
M's. Two different corners.
Mariners are the M's. Yeah. The Marlins. What I want to say about Giancarlo is that, like, the book is still out on him as a Yankee. And the other book that closed on him was that he's a National League MVP. He's a power hitter. He hit almost 60 bombs. Like, we can still see that. He's 30 years old. He's in year three. I'm going to start up hashtag year 3G because I have faith in this guy, if healthy, to come back and hit. He might lead the team in home runs this year. Why not? Why, like, we saw what he can do. He missed the juice ball year, which sucks.
Imagine.
I've imagined. If he played this past year and was fully healthy in the juice ball year, he might have been good for 50, 60 again. Why can't he do that? And
steroids are crazy. That juice ball year, we just pop in stand to, like, 50, 60 to the steroid numbers.
He's a beast.
80.
If he did it in, what, 2017? No, 2016? No, 2017 it was the year that he almost hit 60. Why can't this guy regain that form? He's 30 years old now. I think he realizes that he's in New York. It's his third year in New York. He's comfortable around the team, the players, the guys now. And he's a competitor. I think he's going to try and prove himself this year. So, yeah, like he said, I hate the Yankee fans that hate on our players. Like the Gary haters are the worst of our fans. But even Giancarlo, it's like, give this guy a shot.
Yeah, the Stan haters are the money haters, and the Gary haters are
yeah, really, really, that's what shines through when you see people hating on Gary. We're like,
there's usually a common trait.
Yeah.
All right. One.
But now they don't have Romine to say he should. You know, he's gone, so they can't say. Like, put Romine in. Romine should be starting over him.
All right. Here's the last voicemail.
Look out! Guess who's back? Back again.
A double for Bubak.
Bubak's back. Tell some man. I mean, friend. Doing better, fellas. No question, just a statement. I know it's been said before, but after reading that Chappie finds Altuve's walk-off home run a little suspicious, the pieces are all coming together. That's the reason for Chappie's smirk. End of story. I love you guys. 2020 Yanks is almost here. I'm giddy! Go Yanks! Go Yanks!
Jake's future assistant geeked up.
Take back all of your well wishes to Bubak. No need to tweet them. He got over it. He's in good spirits.
That was quick.
Yes, quick. Turn around. Chapman's smirk, he was the only pitcher to not use the multiple sequences
right
in Minute Maid Park, which to me makes me mad at him, not like understanding with him. The rumors were there forever. That smirk, it could mean that. It also just could be what we thought it was at the time, like, I can't believe that fucking just happened.
I think it was a combination of the two. One, it was like, hold on, like, something's fishy about this. Like, no way did that little, like, that's what it looks like now. But at the time, it looked like, wow, like, the season ended that way. Like, this is over off of that pitch. No way. And if the rumors, which we all have heard, the rumors were going around MLB, teams knew, players. Like, if you're a pitcher going out there and you've already heard rumors and then it's 2-1 and Altuve sitting, like, you got to be, like, suspicious. And, yeah, of course, Chapman, even today, they asked him what he thought about, you know, Jim Crane. And Chapman was pretty direct with saying, like, nah, like, you know, their World Series is tainted and, like their apologies today, like, weren't good enough.
Yep. And I think that's going to continue. Like, they asked Boone, like, hey, did you hear that Crane said it didn't impact the World Series? And Boone was like, I'd say that's a bit of a stretch.
No, it directly did.
Yeah. Well, because they knew a pitch was coming. That's all. That's the only reason.
The game is pitching.
All right. That ends this one. Thank you guys very much. If you want to go look at the YouTube, check it out, because I think we've had three cameras going. Katie was producing and switching the cameras like a real pro. You would never know it was her first time ever.
Boss Lady
nice.
Katie.
And then this should be the future. As soon as we're done with the spring training trip and Jake drives cross country, this should be the everyday, which is incredibly exciting, much different than talking through a computer. So thanks, Keith, for stepping in.
No give him problem. All, give him thanks all your for ads. Having me. I can't wait to listen to this. give him all my ads. It's just my first and last name, at Keith McPherson, Twitter, Instagram. That's really all you need, Twitter and Instagram.
And you're on Pinstripe Strong with Joe's.
I was just about to say, I'm also on Pinstripe Strong podcast with Joe's McFly, Chris McFly, and Talking Nets under the John Boy Media umbrella we're working on. And we're working on just building a dream here. you know, in the Bronx, New York, every day. It's a dream in itself, and we can't wait to just keep rocking and doing what we're doing going into the season. Hashtag Jake Rocks.
Jake Rocks.
Or Jake Trucks. That would have been a cooler one. It rhymes with sucks, and he's been trucking now that he's driving. That's why I'm filling in. Hashtag Jake Trucks.
Jake driving in like a fully loaded RV is a fun, just picture it.
Yeah, I was like, this is the content I like to see. He's driving across country. He's told everyone he's going to spring training.
The spring training RV is huge. Yeah, Jake tweeted out, like, on my way to spring training, and a lot of people have asked me, like, he's really driving already? The two people in this room, Katie and Keith, both asked me, like, and I was like, no, he's joking. He's going to Salt Lake.
I thought something was up with that.
So how many people actually think he's, like, driving the spring training?
A couple thousand.
Yeah. so many. All right, that ends this episode. Thank you guys very much. Check out the daily episodes are still coming. And like we said, we have three events coming up. Two in Tampa, live show on the 19th. Hang out on the 29th at the game, and then a thank you to everyone who helped get us here and get us into an office space and become what we are and are going to help us continue to grow. March 14th, come out to Billy's right by the stadium. It will be a good time. There will be official like post about it and all that, but for now, that's it. Go Yanks. Tell them, Grams.
Go Yankees.